Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Wspólny Świat podcast of the magazine Wszystko co najważniejsze. Today, I'm joined by Jason Burke, journalist, foreign correspondent of The Guardian magazine, author of books, among other, Al-Qaeda, The Casting of Shadow on Terror, and my personal favorite, The New Threat, The Past, The Present, and The Future of the Islamic Militia. Hello, sir, and thank you for joining us.
Hello, hi.
So let me kick this off with the questions about the journalism and the time that we are having right now. So you've been to Sudan and Khartoum not long ago. I think it's fair to say, we have a little bit turmoil times right now. We have a war in Ukraine. We have still ongoing conflict in Ethiopia and Yemen, in Syria, in DRC. There is a phrase that is kind of a discussed right now in Poland also, and it's like the first casualty of war is truth. I would like to kick this off with the questions. Do you think, do you agree with this phrase?
I think that certainly the truth is under great pressure during war. I mean, that phrase was written in a time when media was very, very different, and it was much easier for governments to manipulate some elements of the media, or certainly to control the narrative much more completely than they can now. I mean, we're now in this extraordinary world of very diverse, multiple sources of information, and that has some advantages in that it makes it much harder for actors to completely control a narrative. Although that's possible, as we're seeing in Putin's Russia at the moment. But it also opens up opportunities for unscrupulous actors to distort, to disguise, to influence in ways that have previously never existed. I suppose also the idea that in war, truth is the first casualty presupposes the idea that in peacetime, the truth exists without any great pressure on it, which isn't the case, as we know. I mean, we've seen for years efforts to project different types of narrative, some of which are very, very far from the truth, and others are a different version of the truth, if you like. But certainly at the moment, with the war in Ukraine and with post-COVID and China being newly belligerent in some ways, other things happening around the world, it's certainly a very difficult time to be a journalist, but also a very exciting time.
Let's stop a little bit on Russia, because when it comes to the truth, and the things that we were discussing that you mentioned, there is the huge background when it comes to propaganda, disinformation, or misinformation when it comes to Russia and before the Soviet Union. And that leads me to a question. Is there such a thing as objective truth or something like this that we as a journalist should get into?
Well, there is something that is objective truth. I mean, sort of scientific truth. What there isn't is any journalist who's ever approached actually writing something that is a pure objective truth. I mean, journalists are human. Journalism is also a collective endeavor involving all sorts of other individuals who have their own views. You know, languages have all kinds of ideas, prejudices, values embedded in them. The words we select, the stories we decide to cover, immediately create a subjectivity that is completely inescapable. What journalists can try and do as much as possible is honestly and rigorously communicate what they believe to be true, or at least as close as they can get to the truth. And that, I think, is what distinguishes professional journalists doing their job in an honest and ethical way from others who are really not interested in the truth at all, but are simply interested in encouraging a particular view of the world or a particular narrative or creating an impression of something that may well not be true for an entirely different reason. I mean, those are two very different things. One is information to the best of one's ability. The other is disinformation communicated deliberately to create a false impression. I mean, there's shades in between, but on the whole, both are pretty recognizable when you see them.
There is a famous, very famous and great reporter, war reporter, Martha Gellhorn, who was strong opposing to the concept of objectivism. Also, we have this in anthropology and all that. Actually, there is no such thing as an objective truth. Everything goes through our minds. And what I want to get into in the context of what you just said also is, like, when you have a vision on the world and you see the atrocities that are being committed, you've been to many conflicts in the world, and for sure you've seen many atrocities committed by non-state actors, among others. And right now we have a war in Ukraine, and another atrocities are being committed. But there is this discussion in Europe: what is the borderline between no other contacts should be committed? I don't really see this kind of a borderline or getting into the depths of the issue, for example, of Islamic militia when it comes to how to treat, for example, the issue of terrorism. Do you think it's easier to whitewash some of the Russian crimes because we are dealing with the state, who has propaganda, who has media, and all the other issues?
I don't think Martha Gellhorn said there's no such thing as objective truth. She just said that journalists diverge from objective truth necessarily because they're subjective individuals. But a good journalist tries to limit that divergence as much as possible. A good journalist strives for objective truth or to get close to objective truth. A propagandist does not. For a propagandist, the objective truth is elsewhere. It's the narrative that his state or whoever he's working for, or whatever he believes in, projects as the objective truth. And the information is secondary to that. The communication is secondary to that. So I think they're two very different things. And I absolutely think that when it comes to what's happening in Ukraine and elsewhere, that you can very clearly see where there are lies being told and where some journalists, many journalists, are trying to establish the objective truth. I mean, you know, Russians keep saying that a whole series of incidents that has been blamed on them or on their forces, whether regular military or paramilitary, are fake or are black propaganda operations or whatever. Well, after a while, you kind of think, well, there are an awful lot of these black operations. And, you know, there's quite a lot of evidence that what is supposed to be a black propaganda operation isn't. And when you're presented with that choice as a consumer of information, well, then often the decision that you make as to which version you accept is based on your own pre-existing views. I mean, all a journalist can hope to do is look honestly at the evidence in front of them, try and find that evidence in an honest and rigorous way, and then present it to readers, viewers, listeners, whoever the consumers of that information are. And only then one hopes that those people will make up their mind. And I think that is happening in the Ukraine a lot. I mean, obviously, a lot of people around the world are not reading the best journalism. They're reading other journalism, or there is not journalism at all, that is simply propaganda, and making false assumptions or conclusions based on that. And the only thing a journalist can do is professionally try and provide as much material that is authenticated and is convincing, one hopes, because of that work that has gone into investigating it and checking it, and hope that people are convinced by it and read it and change their minds or form their opinions accordingly.
Because it's also, well, the question, who will read it? Like, if you are on the field if you have to deal with multiple cultures, multiple life stories, it's what you said before, it's getting subjective in a way that everything goes through individual mind. And it's maybe
I don't agree. I think you're confusing two things. No, a journalist is subjective in the sense that they're an individual. I mean, you know, they come from a certain culture, they come from a certain society, they have their own views, they have their own particular vocabulary with which they interpret the world. But that does not mean in any way that they're incapable of learning about, investigating, understanding, and communicating an objective reality, or trying to get as close to that objective reality as possible, just because that's what journalism is as a profession. The idea is that you are trained and you approach things ethically to establish the truth. Obviously, there are limitations. There are limitations of time, limitations of resources, your own limitations as an individual. But that does not mean for a moment that you're incapable of establishing reality or getting close to reality. I mean, I've investigated very complicated stories involving many different versions given to me of reality, partial witness accounts, statements from officials that may or may not be true, evidence on the ground, all of these things. And the job of a journalist is to check, cross-check, form a solid idea of what is true, to eliminate what is known not to be true, and to, as I say, get as close to an objective truth as possible. Now, that is a totally different project from a propagandist who is simply looking to convince people of what he wants them to think, or she wants them to think. And those are two different things, and instantly recognizable as different. They're different in intent, they're different in purpose, they're different in execution, and they're different in consequence. So, I don't accept that you can say that everything is subjective and that, you know, proper journalism is, it could be equated with propaganda, because it's just not the case. I mean, they're two different things, and there's a lot of very good journalism being done in Ukraine at the moment, for example, which is by people who are not propagandists, but honest professional journalists looking to establish what they believe to be the truth.
So you wouldn't agree, because there are many statements that are right now in the era of social media, on the time of Twitter, of fast news and fast information, that true reporting is dying, or it's not here with us anymore. I understand that based on, for example, Ukraine experience, it's not true, not you would agree.
No, I mean, there's what's different is there's plenty of very good reporting around, but there's an awful lot of rubbish as well. And previously, the rubbish, if you like, the stuff that is not professional, the stuff that is pure propaganda, would never have got any kind of a significant audience or readership. Now, with social media, material content that is not professional, is not rigorously checked, is not approached in a professional way, in an ethical way, in terms of its collection, will be viewed by many millions, or could be viewed by many millions of people. And that's a significant problem. But that doesn't mean that there is no objective reporting. I mean, your question presupposes the idea that there is a difference. And there is a difference, and a lot of people recognize it. A lot of people don't, and that's a problem. But that doesn't mean that there is no good, honest reporting out there. And there is. I mean, lots and lots of it.
So how to divide or to find the good reporting? Because right now, based on just Twitter, I get the questions yesterday from a friend of mine who mentioned one of the very important publisher back here in Poland, who, you know, he can write anything about vaccines or a war in Ukraine, and he will get a thousands of even if it's not really a true information. But if you want to get with the true informations, you will have a very limited audience. Is there a way
The BBC does not have a limited audience.
Mm-hmm.
And the Guardian doesn't have a limited audience. I mean, the Guardian 10, 15 years ago was a small British newspaper read by 300,000 or 400,000 people. We're now read by millions and millions every day. And so, I mean, it's there. Social media obviously has removed one of the major filters that stopped malicious falsehoods or even unconscious falsehoods being published. I'm not saying that, you know, mainstream media don't make mistakes, don't have a particular viewpoint, but on the whole, you are much more likely to find something that is true and reliable on the website of a major US newspaper than you are on a flaky Facebook site with somebody's statement about something that they are clearly interested in simply because of an agenda. I mean, that seems to me to be self-evident, and I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, you're talking about questions on Twitter. And how it, if you don't, you know, if you're going to be on social media, then you need to be aware that quite a lot of the stuff that's been pumped out onto social media is there for a reason that has absolutely nothing to do with communicating the truth. And that is, I think most people are increasingly aware of that now. And that at The Guardian, particularly, one of the things we're very proud of is that we are trusted as a news source. But the fact that, you know, we make that point is because people are aware that they want someone, an organization, to produce something that is trustworthy. And that implies that they know that a lot of stuff isn't trustworthy, or at least they don't trust it. And that's good. Twitter is full of rubbish. I was looking at something this morning, which was showing the popularity of the Queen's Jubilee in Britain in Africa, and tweeted a picture of a bonfire being lit in Kenya. I checked the picture, and because I hadn't heard about this, and the picture was from 2012. Now, that was not made clear in the tweet. The tweet suggested strongly that it was this week. That is a falsehood. Probably not a malicious one, but it's a falsehood. One hopes that people will be sufficiently aware of these things to understand that they have to be very careful.
Like, what last questions, if you don't mind, because like there is a number of new informations and reports about the journalists being prosecuted or journalists being even killed for doing their jobs. Do you think that based on your experience for the past years of reporting from many different countries, is it getting more dangerous to be a reporter who actually wants to get to this truth and wants to dig into the context than it was before?
I mean, it's difficult to be precise. My impression is that it is getting more dangerous in many parts of the world. I think that's related to a number of different phenomena, including a pushback against democracy in many parts of the world, populist, nationalist, repressive regimes being in some places stronger than they used to be. Social media plays its role. The general deterioration in the image of journalists often in some parts of the world over the last few years hasn't helped. There was obviously a major problem with Islamic militants who killed journalists, seeing them as representatives of Western powers or spies. There are other similar attitudes for different reasons. So yeah, I think it is a very difficult time for journalists. As I say, I can't underpin that with any statistics. I'm not sure we need statistics to know that it's dangerous. In a sense, this has always been the case. I mean, journalism is dangerous when it's effective, when it tells truths that powerful people don't want told, and they will often go to some way to silence those journalists. So that speaks in many ways to the importance of the media and to the power of information. If journalists were disregarded or seen as mendacious peddlers of untruths by everybody, then nobody would be attacking journalists because they wouldn't be worth attacking. But the fact that journalists are attacked, laws to silence journalists in Russia, for example, other laws elsewhere in the world, indicates that there are a lot of journalists out there working very hard to do a good job of holding the powerful to account and to tell the truth, as I say, as close as they can get to the objective truth. And obviously the powerful and their propagandists don't like that. And that's a bad thing in that journalists are being targeted, but it's a good thing in that journalism remains dangerous to the people who fear right, justified, solid, reliable information.
Thank you for conversation. That was
thank you.
That
pleasure.
Was podcast Wspólny Świat of the magazine Wszystko co najważniejsze. I had a pleasure of talking with Jason Berg, journalist, correspondent, foreign correspondent of The Guardian, author of many books. Thank you very much for interesting interview, and thank you all for listening.
Thank you.